This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. VPR has been following the developing story of refugee resettlement and the impact in Vermont of President Trump's policy change late last week. Vermont Edition executive producer Patty Daniels joins us now for an update on work that has halted and work that continues with refugees in Vermont. Hi, Patty.
Hi, Jane.
Can you recap the policy change that has caused this disruption in all areas of immigration?
Yeah, just briefly what everyone has been reading about. There are seven countries on a list from which no immigration is going to be allowed. That includes Syria, which then directly affects the Syrian refugees that were planned to come to Vermont. In addition to that, no refugee resettlement will happen for 120 days. So we do have an indefinite ban on Syrian refugees coming to the United States, including Vermont. And after that 120 days, it's hard to know what changes there will be. But if that list of seven banned countries stays in effect, then that at least answers that part of the question.
Okay, so looking more specifically at Rutland, what happens to Rutland?
Right. So Vermont Refugee Resettlement opened an office in Rutland and hired staff there in anticipation of needing to support 100 people who would be resettled. And now they have only nine resettled refugees needing that support. And Rutland Mayor Christopher Loris suggested last week that refugee resettlement work in Rutland would just have to close down. It's easy to understand why Vermont Refugee Resettlement Project might need to close that Rutland office. But when I talked with Emila Mirjanovic, the executive director of VRRP this morning, she told me that they are planning to keep that office open. They have government contracts to provide these services. They have commitments to fulfill in the community.
Okay, so she says they're going to keep that office open, but there's no chance they'll just move those families up to Burlington, Patty, where there is already an office and support systems in place?
Right. I know. I asked that specifically, and Mirjanovic says these two families will stay in Rutland as planned.
How are these families doing?
She told me that they stayed with host families for their first week in Rutland, but then just over this weekend, they moved into their own apartments. There were a lot of volunteer effort that had been marshaled to make that possible. Between the two families, there are three school-age children, and they have just started going to school. And now the focus is lining up employment for the parents.
Patty, there have been news reports that some refugees will actually be allowed into the United States just this week, despite what you were telling us earlier about, you know, the ban and what we've heard about the ban on refugees coming in for now, the temporary ban. Is there any chance that Vermont might still receive a few more refugees from either from Syria or elsewhere?
It's true there are some more refugees coming to the United States, but no, none are coming to Vermont. I spoke with Eskander Nagash. He's the senior vice president of the U.S. Committee for Refugees and Immigration in Washington. And he told me there are exceptions being made this week, and that will allow 872 refugees into the United States up until tomorrow, February 2nd. These are people who were already in that so-called pipeline. They had already been cleared, and they were stopped from traveling because of the policy change last week. So all of these individuals are from countries that are not on the banned list, but none of them are coming to Vermont. Nagash did tell me that there was one case of a Somali refugee who had been cleared for resettlement in Vermont. He was supposed to arrive next week, and his flight has been canceled because Somalia is, of course, one of those seven countries.
So even those who had been cleared, if they're in the from those seven countries on that list of banned countries, they are not coming.
That's right.
Can you back up just a second and explain what the U.S. Committee for Refugees and Immigration is and does?
Yeah, right. So there's a lot of acronyms in the world of refugee resettlement. There are nine non-governmental agencies in the U.S. that oversee all refugee resettlement, and the U.S. Committee for Refugees and Immigration, USCRI, is one of those nine. In news reporting, you have probably heard the names of other groups. Many of them are faith-based, but they all basically do the same work, which is to receive the refugees that the U.S. Department of State has selected for resettlement here. And those nine agencies, they oversee all of the local refugee resettlement programs around the country. USCRI oversees resettlement in 35 communities, 35 places around the country, and that includes the Vermont Refugee Resettlement Project.
Okay, so coming back to Vermont now, are there other refugees who were supposed to come to Vermont who now aren't?
Yes. Mirjanovich from Vermont Refugee Resettlement Project told me this morning that several families were scheduled to arrive next week in Vermont, up to 15 people, most of them from Bhutan, and they are not traveling. She also told me about a Somali family. Part of the family is already here. They have already been resettled in Vermont, and they had been waiting, I think she said, for 3 years for a family reunification visa to come through for their relatives. She said that visa had just been approved, but Somalia is on that banned list. So those individuals cannot travel. That reunification won't be taking place. So the way Mirjanovich described this to me is that the mother of this family is in a really kind of painful place where her relatives cannot come here. And she is afraid that if she leaves here, even just to visit with them, that she won't be allowed back into the United States. So it's just, you know, another one of those ripple effects, those ramifications that we've been hearing about all week of individual families in Vermont that are seeing this policy play out in their lives.
Well, so what does the VRRP, the Refugee Resettlement Program, do now that there's this ban on all refugees?
Right. So they do have work that continues, and that is with the people who have recently arrived. They've actually, Vermont has received 185 refugees since October. And, you know, we have spent so much time and attention talking about Syrian refugee resettlement, but most of those refugees came from, they're Bhutanese who came from Nepal, Congolese, Somali, Iraqi, and also those two Syrian families. So the Vermont Refugee Resettlement Project office in Colchester continues to provide services to all of those people who have recently arrived. There are language classes and social services, citizenship classes, job counseling. They have, you know, storerooms of household goods and clothing to help ease transition, and winter clothing for families that aren't used to winter. You know, just sitting in their office this morning, Jane, there were a half a dozen people from really different backgrounds who came in for appointments with caseworkers or men, women, children. So there is a lot of activity that still continues for the Refugee Resettlement Program, even as new individuals aren't actually arriving right now.
And with all of this political flux, what does happen next? What do we know?
Yeah, it is fluid. That's the word that everyone keeps using, right? This week, the Vermont Refugee Resettlement Project is organizing meetings with different refugee communities in Vermont that it serves. So Bhutanese, Somalis, Congolese, just to review their legal status with them and to reassure them of rights that they have as legally resettled refugees here. I peppered Mirjanovich with all kinds of hypothetical situations, but there just really isn't much more than she can say than I guess that's possible. she has marked the 120-day ban on refugees as ending on May 27th. And at that point, we should know more if the Trump administration has been able to redesign the refugee admissions process to fit its definition of extreme vetting. But in any case, if and when refugee admissions are restarted, the executive order states that the U.S. will accept less than half the number of refugees than previously targeted. That means about 50,000 people will be admitted, presumably none of them from the countries on the banned list.
That's VPR's Patty Daniels, the Vermont Edition executive producer. And Patty, before we let you go, you have one other thing that you wanted to have us hear today.
Yeah, that's right. So about 2 weeks ago, I recorded an interview with the U.S. State Department's Director of Refugee Admissions, Larry Bartlett. He works with population, migration, and refugees. And he explained in that interview the entire involved process of vetting refugees before they are admitted to the United States. It is a detailed process. At the end of the interview, almost as an aside, Bartlett asked if he could just make a statement in defense of refugee resettlement. Again, this was recorded on January 10th, and this is what he said.
I'll try to be diplomatic. It's really terrible to be a refugee. You know, it's really terrible to have had to leave your country. And I think one of the things that Americans don't always understand, and I won't single out Americans because I think it's people around the world don't understand who aren't refugees, who have it pretty good. These aren't people who want to come to the United States. These aren't people who've left Syria because they want to come to the U.S. and make a better life. Those are economic migrants. That's different. These are people who've left everything they've had. They've, first of all, had many of them have had you know, tragedies within their family, people killed and tortured. And they've been surviving. And, you know, the one thing that, you know, one of the words that is often used with refugees or about refugees is that they're very resilient. You know, these are people who fled. These are people who had the wherewithal to get out. They were able to do it. Sometimes they had to bribe their way through borders. They've coped. Surviving, you know, survival as a refugee in a place like Jordan or Turkey is not easy. There's survival sex that happens. There's kids working. And there's all kinds of bad things that people do to cope. And they've made that decision in order to stay alive, in order to provide for my family while I'm treading water. This is what I've got to do. And so to me, you know, one of the greatest things about our program is that we're giving people a second chance. And, you know, by and large, they make an amazing opportunity for it. And, you know, I would hope that every refugee who comes here as an adult has an amazing life. We know that it's hard. It's hard to learn a new language the older you get. It's harder to make a transition into a different job when you come out of a different cultural environment. But one thing that you will always find with refugees is oftentimes they will say, it's about my kids. And it's to me, it's the one thing that unites us all. It's about our kids. It's about the next generation. It's about people who are less fortunate than we are. And I just think this is an amazing program. And I really thank the people of Rutland for opening their homes and their hearts to refugees.
That's Larry Bartlett. He's the director of refugee admissions for the U.S. Department of State. He made those remarks on January 10th before the changeover of presidential administrations when a different refugee policy was in place. I mentioned that he spoke with VPR about the detailed process that was used to vet refugees. We have posted a video produced by NPR that explains how that process has worked. You'll find it on the Vermont Edition Facebook page.